Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the Trump lynching. The Trump lynching. The president, our president, is being lynched by a political lynch mob. And that's exactly what is taking place. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I'm holding in my hand a book that I had the privilege of writing and publishing in 2011. Title of the book is It Time for a Revolution? Subtitle, Will It Be the Battlefield or the Ballot Box? It is the exegetical work, verse-by-verse, word-for-word study of Second Chronicles chapter 10 in the Bible. And it's when there was a struggle over the presidency, as you would call it, of that day. And as a result of that, after Solomon's death, the kingdom was divided, and there was a battle over the throne, if you will. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're finding some of the same things in America today. Let me just read you from page 10, top of page 11 in this book. We're seeing today, and this is back in 2011, a corrosion of freedom every day, a war against Christianity unlike anything we could ever have envisioned for America, a disdain for all human life, a depth of immorality and perversion beyond any description, an arrogance toward our citizens, a complete disregard for truth at every level of government, an absolute silence of the voices of the moral majority in America, a slide towards socialism unlike anything we could have imagined in recent years, a Marxist, socialist, Islamic, tyrannical discard for our Constitution and our freedoms, as well as our capitalist system of government, a fundamental change, a Marxist term that's being used in the American society today. And ladies and gentlemen, that was introduced by Barack Hussein Obama, that I believe is the one that was behind, has been behind, and is the puppeteer behind what has been taking place in the past 3 years with President Donald J. Trump. I say that unequivocally. But ladies and gentlemen, those that call in today, if you're interested in this book, you call in, and when you call in, leave your a street address and your name with Roger, our screen caller, our call screener, and you leave that information, we'll send you this book, we'll pay for it. If you have any concern and interest in continuing this broadcast, Let's Face the Issues, any amount that you'd like to send back as a contribution toward the underwriting of that would be wonderful. It's a very brief book. It's not but about, 100 pages, but it covers what God's Word says in 2 Chronicles chapter 10, and it is so aptly applicable for what's taking place in the American political system today. It's almost like reading today's newspaper when you read 2 Chronicles chapter 10. I recommend the book to you. It's good reading, I think, not because I wrote it, but because it's right from the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Trump lynching. You can call 831-0917, 831-0917. You have the right to disagree if you would like to. If you would like to ask questions and further the elongation of the conversation about why am I saying this and what is it about, I believe every Christian ought to be concerned. Every Christian needs to stand up. We need to be salt and light, ladies and gentlemen. We can't do that by being asleep. You can't be salt by staying in the shaker. You can't be light by staying in a closet. If we're truly Christians, we're going to be salt and light in the society in which we're living in today. But we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, a major, major threat to, I believe, the success and the security of the United States of America as a result of what we see taking place with the socialist Marxist Democrats and what they're attempting to do. The president today said publicly that the Marxist Democrats are carrying out a public lynching. Now, he didn't call them the Marxist Democrats. I do. That's what they are, the socialist Marxist Democrats. And I just said, wow. And for that, the Democrat Marxist socialist now demanding that he resign as president. Some are saying that the president is now not fit for office. In fact, I don't know if you've been listening to the news. I'm a news freak. I listen to the news 24/7 if I could. I roll the dial. I like to listen to preaching on television and the news. I critique preaching. I critique the news. I critique what's being said by the politicians and from what bent they're coming from and why they're saying it. You can read right through what they're now saying. They're now saying that he is simply not fit to be president because he has said that this is a lynching, a political lynching. But ladies and gentlemen, I would commend this to you. If it were not so sad, it would be absolutely laughable with what is taking place in that venue, in that realm. Here's an article that says, at least five House Democrats compared Bill Clinton's impeachment to a lynching in 1998. Hang on there. Hang in there. I'm going to read several brief paragraphs from this lengthy article. Don't want to bore you with it, but I want to set the stage for the balance of this broadcast. they're all up in arms, and they all have the hair on fire, and they're going around putting the hair out. And the Socialist Marxist Democratic group in Washington, simply because President Trump said that this is a political lynching. Title of the article, at least five House Democrats compared Bill Clinton's impeachment to a lynching in 1998. Criticism came fast from the Democrats, Trump's critics, and some Republicans on Tuesday after President Trump compared the current impeachment inquiry to a lynching. But by the afternoon, Trump allies were pointing out that variations of that word were invoked several times by the House Democrats to describe the impeachment proceedings against President Bill Clinton in 1998. At least five House Democrats talked about lynching, this article says, or a lynch mob as pertaining to Clinton's, according to the review. The highest office holder should think about these words. The rural South, where I was born, has tarnished as a tarnished and painful history. That was a quote from Representative Danny K. Davis, Democrat, Illinois. Listen to this. Gregory Meeks, Democrat, New York. I don't expect Trump to be sensitive to the weight of that word or see how insulting and harmful it is to invoke it here. In 1998, however, both Davis and Meeks called the Clinton impeachment proceedings a lynching on the House floor the day before the president was impeached. Then Representative Charles Rangel, Democrat, New York, described what he called a lynch mob mentality that says this man has to go during the floor speech the same day. Democratic criticism of the Republican-led impeachment proceedings against Clinton were not limited to the House floor. Listen to this. What is he called? Sleepy Joe. Then Senator Joe Biden, Democrat, Delaware, called the impeachment proceedings against Clinton a partisan lynching during an October 1998 appearance on CNN. On Tuesday, Biden called Trump's tweet abhorrent. He says, our country has a dark, shameful history with lynching, and to even think about making this comparison is abhorrent. It's despicable, Biden tweeted. Evidently, he has a poor memory. He had forgotten what he said in 1998. On three occasions in 1998, Representative Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York, who now chairs the committee that would consider articles of impeachment against Trump, called the impeachment process against Clinton a lynch mob. He says, we shouldn't participate in a lynch mob against the president, Nadler told Newsday on September the 13th, 1998. 5 days later, Nadler saw no evidence that the Republicans want to do anything other than organize a lynch mob, according to the South China Morning Post. And on October the 4th, 1988, Nadler told the Associated Press that Republicans were running a lynch mob against President Clinton. Then Representative Jim DeMint, Democrat Washington, who served nearly 20 years in the House, slammed the impeachment proceeding against Clinton during the interview with the Baltimore Sun on September 1998. Quote, this feels today like we're taking a step down the road of becoming a political lynch mob, DeMint said at that time. Quote, find the rope, find the tree, ask a bunch of questions later, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, did you just hear the statements that I read? Five of the voices today that is bent and determined that President Donald J. Trump needs to be impeached, and now screaming, grasping at straws, screaming that impeachment is necessary, and he's proven that he needs to be impeached just because he calls this a political lynch, a political lynching, or as they called it against President William J. Clinton, William Clinton at the time, Bill Clinton. They were all claiming that it was a lynch mob, a political lynching party. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it laughable, were it not so sad, that the Democrats have a very short memory. Now they're saying he's not fit for office because he used the word lynch or lynching. Several blacks as well as whites in the Congress, the members are screaming, racist, racist, racist. They're accusing the president of demeaning Americans, blacks, by using the term lynching. Well, let's see what the dictionary says about that. There are those that try to claim that this is only for a black reference, so therefore the president must be racist. Therefore he is to be put out of office. Here's an article right off the internet, trending the word lynch. Look up spiked 17,400% on October the 22nd after the word lynching was mentioned by the president. Why are people looking up lynch? This article reads, lynch was among our top lookups on October the 22nd, 2019, after President Trump described his impeachment investigation as a lynching. President Donald Trump on Tuesday called House Democrats' impeachment inquiry a lynching. So let's see what it says. What is notable about this use of lynch? Question mark. Lynch and lynching may occasionally be found used in a figurative or hyperbolic manner, describing a situation in which no one is actually put to death. It has also been used in reference to a president who is or has been close to impeachment. Captain Kangaroo Rodino and his loyal kangaroos did a wonderful job of lynching President Nixon. Orlando Morlano wrote, Newsday, Long Island, New York, August the 2nd, 1974. And then again, Los Angeles Police Chief Ed Davis recently described the Watergate grand jury hearings as aides of the former president, Richard Nixon, as unconstitutional lynching in a letter that has been released by the Washington, D.C. Coalition of End Grand Jury Abuse. That was all dated in 1974, ladies and gentlemen. And yet today we have President Trump using the same term. And yet it was the terms being used by the Democrats in yesteryear. And somehow, some way, the president is unfit to serve in office. Well, I'm thankful at least one Republican senator had the backbone, the spine, the guts, the tenacity to stand up for our president. I find it disingenuous for Republicans in general to be stupid enough, ignorant enough, weak-kneed, spineless enough, when a CNN camera is and mic is put in their face, they feel they've got to say something to appease the cameraman or the reporter at the time. We've had several of those weak-kneed, spineless, rhino Republicans that have said some things. Well, he shouldn't have said that. You know, that just wasn't appropriate. He should have chosen a better word, or that should have been left out, et cetera, et cetera. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, in an interview said, yes, this is a lynching. It simply means a mob takes the law into their own hands without a trial, end quote. Now, that's a correct statement. That's a correct understanding of the use of the word. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the socialist Democrats say nothing about the Islamic jihadists in Congress as they praise Islam and openly criticize the Jews in Israel. That's okay. But you just let the president use the term lynching, and all of a sudden, the dam breaks, the water flows, and mouths start running in a fashion that is absolutely incorrect and ought not to be at all. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to ask, where does lynching come from? I think that it is incumbent of us to understand it. I understand that it's been used in a number of fashions, and as I have done the research on it in the past couple of days, back in history past, multitudes of every ethnic background, including Caucasians, have been lynched. Where does lynching come from? PBS. The origins of lynching are disputed. Some claim it's named for Captain William Lynch, the head of the informal tribunal in Virginia in 1780, that punished suspected British loyalists. Listen, during the American Revolutionary War, the process was described as the Lynch Law, the Lynch Law. Others claim that it comes from the Virginian active around the same time, one Charles Lynch, who is associated with a Lynch Law, similarly connected with to the suppression of incarceration of the Loyalists. The city of Lynchburg, Virginia, is likely named for his brother, John Lynch. I'm just simply going back to the archives of history and what is said and what it relates to and how the word is used. Now, I understand that it was used in the 1800s as lynching those that were accused of crimes, regardless of skin color, primarily the blacks of that era. Regardless of trial, they would take the law into their own hands and have the adjudication. That's exactly what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, through the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party in trying to lynch President Trump. It is a public political lynching that's being attempted today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is simply a deflection of the truth of what the Socialist Marxist Democrats are themselves and what they're doing and attempting to do to destroy President Donald J. Trump. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it's easy to pick up a word and try to deflect by using that word in some illegal or in some incorrect fashion. You recall, I'm sure, the 2018 election of the governor in the state of Florida. Andrew Gillum was the opponent of Ron DeSantis. And on one occasion, Ron DeSantis, in a news briefing, when they were asking him questions about what was he doing and why was he doing it, etc., he said, "Well, let's don't throw a monkey wrench in this." And all of a sudden, you would have thought the world was coming to an end. Ron DeSantis was accused of using a racial slur toward a black candidate, Andrew Gillum, that's running against him. You would have thought the world was coming to an end. I said then, of course, I grew up with a stepdad. He was a mechanic. I spent a lot of time after school under the hood of an automobile with his giving instructions, handing me a monkey wrench and telling me to take something apart. I had a monkey wrench. I didn't know then it was a racist wrench. But he said, throwing a monkey wrench, it was simply a colloquialism that's used so often today. Let's not throw a monkey wrench in it. Or some will say, as President Trump has said, this is a lynching. And that's exactly what it is. It is mob rule. It is the mob carrying out the trial and the conviction and the execution without having a trial that is in legality, as it would be called. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to look at the governor of Virginia. He admits to wearing blackface, as it's called. I didn't know until recently there was any such thing. But anyway, he admits to doing that several times. You've not heard one Democrat that's condemned him ask him to be removed from office. And yet it was an admission. Not a single Democrat's asked him to be removed. Look at the Democratic Marxists pushing murder by way of abortion. You've not heard anything saying they need to be removed. I believe we have a call on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, sir. I have not been on this podcast today. I've been up to my eyeballs. However, I know the subject matter you're on today, and with that say, I suppose you look at the lynching that for a while. Clinton was impeached, rightfully so. They through a process, and of course he was not removed. Nonetheless, the indictment was handed down, and Democrats from coast, many of them called that a lynch, and that was an appropriate processes. It doesn't even come to a lynching. A lynching involves the emotional thing, mob of, you know, we're not waiting on justice, we're not waiting on process, we're going to do this thing right now because we're emotionally worked up. And if you realize what's taking place, Democrats today, they work on emotion. They want stirring up the frothing mob, and over and over. Look, I've asked for individuals, articulate your point. You have folks calling Donald Trump a traitor, and I'm going, well, tell me how he's a traitor. Express to me how he's a traitor. Explain to me how he's a traitor. And they have no interest in having a dialogue. It's just, we want to take him down. We want to take him. It's the orange man bad, the Trump derangement drone. And the mob mentality has always been the Democrat mentality. Now, the Democrats were the founder of KKK. They're the founders of and protectors of the systems of slavery. They were the slaveholders. They were the rousers. They were the about history. They wouldn't just lynch a white person that was looking out for the rights of a black person. They they operated in a terroristic mentality or ideology and continue that today. I mean, you step back a couple of decades to Clarence Thomas's hearings. What did he say? This is a lynch mob. What he called a high-tech lynch mob that didn't know their place. And he was absolutely 100% right. What they do with Bork, you know, they call Borking, you know, we're going to destroy you is the mentality that they bring to the table. What did they do with Kavanaugh? The same thing. And before Donald Trump was even elected, that lynch mob began gaining steam. You know, they had their backup plan or whatever. This is part of the insurance policy. The idea is if we can't keep him from being elected, we will prevent him from accomplishing. The idea is to keep Washington torn up with investigations and false allegations that nothing can be done. I mean, the Mexico-Canada trade agreement that's agreed to by all these parties just needs to be brought up in Congress. They won't do anything for the good of the nation. Their only intent, their only purpose today is to destroy the President of the United States.
Yes. Greg, one of the things that I believe we're both saying, and our listeners need to understand, the Democratic Party, they're the promulgators of Margaret Sanger and the desire that she was the founder of Planned Parenthood, and the whole desire and the whole aim and the whole goal was to destroy the black man with Margaret Sanger, and that's what is happening primarily across America today with the murder by way of abortion through the Planned Parenthood. It was the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party that originated the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, to prevent the black man from voting. It is the Democratic Party that is embracing abortion today, which is murder. And yet when we look at what President Trump has done, the lowest unemployment in history, securing our southern border, pushing rich religious liberties and the protection for our religious freedom of speech, wiping out the Islamic jihadists in the Middle East and protecting our homeland. He has made America energy independent. He's rebuilt our military. He's started the draining of the sewer in Washington, and that's what's petrifying them all to death with that. Greg, hang on the line. We have another caller. Greg, with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you for today's broadcast. I've got a question about the lynching, and I'm sure the Democrats are trying to gain horsepower by, bringing in the African-Americans, but when the African-Americans were lynched, who was pulling the rope? Was it Republicans or was it Democrats that were pulling the ropes? Because the Republicans had just lost over 125,000 men to free the blacks. I don't think it was them. But I'd like to hear it out of your mouth. What political persuasion were the men who were pulling the ropes to lynch the blacks?
Generally speaking, I can answer it hypothetically because I don't have any statistical data to verify the percentages of white and black. But generally speaking, it would have been the Democrats. They were the ones that were against the freeing of the slaves. They're the ones that were trying to petrify the black men to prevent them from voting. In fact, the Republican Party was started by blacks for black leadership, the Republican Party. And yet the Democrats have tried to supersede that and claim that somehow, some way, they're the stalwart. They're the ones that's fighting for the blacks in America, when in reality, all of the history points in the opposite direction. Greg, what is your answer to that? What would you say?
Well, Dinesh Usa lays that out in documentary format, and the history of the KKK, and the entire and planning of and carrying out all the things done by the racist, if you will, in America and the Klan. Those were Democratic Party policies.
Yes, absolutely.
That they had many, many moons ago. Just look up the term "Klan Bake," and you'll find it was a massive planned rally around the Democratic Convention. That's their history, and they hate to be reminded of that. They'd love to the slogan's changed. Really? Really? They're the same party. As a matter of fact, Senator Byrd, and I won't even quote the stuff that man said. And here he was, Grand Wizard, a Klan, for a multiplicity of other things. But
he was the Grand Poobah of the Ku Klux Klan in West Virginia.
Yeah.
And he was their icon. Great. We've got just a couple of minutes on the broadcast. Let's make a brief transition. We see this, we know this, and this is the purpose of this broadcast, is to illumine and enlighten our listeners with what's really taking place and whether or not, as Christians, we should stand with our president. But President Trump has said that this is a political lynching, and I believe that it is, and I believe that we can go back to the facts and the figures and the details and the background and validate that. What should we as Christians do? How should we respond? What should be our response? Should we be silent? Should we talk about these things? Should we let the narrative be in the hands of the socialist, Marxist, Democrats? Or should we as Christians? Because after all, what we see taking place is the fundamental destruction of the foundation of our republic. And as Christians, I believe we need to be salt and light. What do you say would be the charge and the challenge that we can leave with our listeners today? What position should Christians take after hearing this broadcast?
Can't speak the truth, as you stated. Be seen these things play out from the beginning of time. Okay, saw in the first century church that Paul brought on charges, and of course he languished in prison for years. False allegations brought against him, and I see a lot of comparisons, a lot of similarities. I'm not saying that Donald Trump is Paul, but I see a lot of similarities. And of course, in that day, a Roman citizen couldn't have a whistleblower. They had to have multiple parties that witnessed things in order for any trial. Yet today we see this Donald Trump being ripped apart, torn apart, and every single thing that I see alleged of Donald Trump, I can show you the evidence that Biden is guilty, Obama is guilty, Clinton is guilty. We have evidence on tape of their guilt of the exact things that they're accusing Donald Trump of. We don't have that evidence for Donald Trump. So, you know, by their own measure, they're putting judgment on their own party and on their own. They don't even realize it today. They do not even realize it. Now they're condemning their own party to a judgment, a level of scrutiny that really will not appreciate and enjoy in years to come.
That's right. That's the reason I say to our listeners, 2 Chronicles 7:14 comes to my mind. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. And Greg, I believe our land needs healing today. So I challenge our listeners to be in prayer. Pray for our president. Pray that God will give him wisdom and protection. Thank you so much for tuning in today, ladies and gentlemen. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.